This Valentine's Day, Dunkin's got the perfect pairings to show your love. So get down on one knee with a dozen brownie batter donuts and a cocoa mocha signature latte. Or make them swoon with a strawberry dragon fruit Dunkin' refresher with a Cupid's Choice donut. Are you ready for love? America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Welcome back to another edition of Cool Stuff Ride Home. Marcus Pfaff, joined by Reggie Rizzou. On today's episode, the heroic act of a Taco Bell manager in Pennsylvania. Plus, Weird Wednesday brings us a hippo with a mistaken identity. It's not Pigman, but Seagull Boy, and getting paid to watch Star Wars. Plus, on this day in history, a man makes a trip around the world in a fishing boat. That's all coming up on Cool Stuff. Well, an act of heroism to get things started this morning. It was at a Taco Bell outside Philadelphia where manager Becky Arbaugh heard a scream coming from the drive-thru window, followed by the words, "Call 911, the baby isn't breathing." Obviously a tough spot here. But rather than rush to the phone, Arbaugh threw off her headset and sprinted outside to assist with the situation. That's when she spotted Natasha Long just outside the drive-thru lane, holding the lifeless blue body of her 11-week-old son, Miles. And that's when Arbaugh sprung into action, performing CPR on the child. Said Arbaugh to Good Morning America, quote, "The mom was panicked. I told her to give him to me, and I performed CPR. I was trying to calm her down and comfort her and reassure her that he'll be fine. The baby finally started to breathe. The ambulance came pretty quickly, and then they took over. The EMT said, I saved his life," end quote. In many ways, it was a serendipitous situation for Natasha and Miles because Arbaugh, a mother herself, has already restarted the heart of her own daughter on several occasions due to medical complications. Unbelievable. Taco Bell issued a statement to ABC News saying, quote, "We are incredibly proud of Becky for her heroic act earlier this week. We are getting in touch to express appreciation for her quick actions and kindness," end quote. And inside the walls of Taco Bell, GMA says store members and those in other locations have showered her with messages of appreciation, while Mother Natasha spoke with Arbaugh on the phone the very next day. So a potentially awful situation turned into just an incredible story. And kudos to Arbaugh, Reggie. I will say I've taken a CPR class in the past in preparation for moments just like this that you hope never come. Honestly, I feel like I should probably go back and refresh my memory after having read this, because while it seems simple, you, of course, want to be up to date on what's the most advisable form of CPR in play today per medical professionals.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't do well. My education on CPR is basically TV and movies, so I should probably take something as well instead of relying on what I've just seen on TV. I am curious how Taco Bell is going to reward this person. I'm assuming a couple free tacos thrown her way. Is that what she's going to get? I haven't heard anything like any type of award.
Yeah, they haven't stated anything publicly, but I sure hope they do take care of this lady. If they are indeed as proud as they say they are, which they should be, for what is a tremendous act, and certainly to be that quick on your feet, to not panic and recognize what's happening. Kudos to Becky Arbaugh.
This Valentine's Day, Dunkin's got the perfect pairings to show your love. So get down on one knee with a dozen brownie batter donuts and a cocoa mocha signature latte. Or make them swoon with a strawberry dragon fruit Dunkin' refresher with a Cupid's Choice donut. Are you ready for love? America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Starting off Weird Wednesday with the he that is actually a she. A Japan zoo has now officially confirmed that a hippo that they thought was a male for the past 7 years is actually a female. Jen Chan arrived in Osaka from the Africam Safari Animal Park in Mexico in 2017 when she was 5 years old. When she arrived, they were told that the hippo was a male, and since Jun Shan was still a calf, they didn't question the documents. As the hippo got older, they couldn't visually identify any male reproductive organs, and it didn't display any typical male hippo behaviors. So they decided to finally do a DNA test, which confirmed that he was actually a she. By the way, those typical male behaviors include courtship calls to female hippos, or scattering feces around while defecating with a propeller-like tail motion to mark their territory.
Oh man, we've all been there, Reg.
Yeah. The zoo's vice director told the local paper, quote, "We recognize the importance of confirming the sex, and we want to ensure that such mistakes will not happen again," end quote. Also, by the way, the zoo said they are not changing the hippo's name. They're going to continue calling it Jun Shan. I don't know. I find it odd that zoo professionals, vets, I guess that would be working there, didn't realize that he was actually a she before this time.
Yeah, after all this time, you finally realize that. I know, and I don't know much about hippo anatomy, but I guess I would have assumed it's fairly obvious, like it is in many animal species, but apparently not.
Like an insect, I can't tell. Boy, girl, whatever, if they have, you know, anything along those lines. I won't be able to tell. But usually mammals, there's some physical evidence.
Yeah, when you're not flinging your feces all over the place in an attempt to mark your territory. I guess that's the sign they needed.
That's how I won my wife over.
Thank God I wasn't there for that courtship.
So we all have our skills, and one 9-year-old British boy used his skills to sound like a seagull to win a European championship in a competition for seagull impressions. Dressed as the bird, Cooper won the EC Gull Screeching Competition with a score of 92 points out of 100. He started doing the impression after he was nipped by a seagull eating a tuna sandwich. He said that he wanted to become Seagull Boy, like how Peter Parker became Spider-Man after getting bit by a spider. Cooper said, quote, "I feel like they are a really nice animal. I like them because of their noise. Sometimes they can be a bit scary, and I'm a bit weary of eating at the beach, so that's why I eat in a small tent. The last meal I had at the beach was an ice cream," end quote. So his mom, Lauren, said it was initially annoying when he started doing the impressions, but then she recognized that he was really good at it. My opinion, still annoying. Either way, the judges said, quote, "He managed to include several call types in his performance, and each of them resembled a rare seagull call in a most impressive way. In fact," they said, "he was not only the best of the young participants, but of all of those who took part in the championship." Now, there were 5 judges, each scoring up to 20 points. 5 points were allotted to how they dressed and behaved, the other 15 on how well they made the call. So I think wearing that seagull costume probably benefited him a little bit. They added, quote, "We pay attention to timbre, rhythm, as well as variation. After all, seagulls have a fairly extensive repertoire of sounds ranging from alarm calls to long calls that make it clear that they do not want any unwanted intruders in their territory." Now, the competition isn't just for fun. They said it is, quote, "meant to elicit some sympathy for seagulls, which are an essential element to our coast, but are often maligned as rats of the sea," end quote. Now, you can hear his call with the link in the show notes. It actually is pretty impressive. I personally think animals are trying to say their names. Like when you have crow, crow, or chickadee-dee-dee, you know, stuff like that. Or there's cow, I think that one.
What is happening? What is happening right now?
I am thinking, okay, you probably all think I'm crazy, but I do think.
Reggie does animal calls.
There's lots of times I try to talk to chickadees outside. I hear them going and I respond with a chickadee-dee-dee-dee. It sounds close enough, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, so I'm a little crazy, but that's okay. Okay, moving on. Finally, Marcus, are you a Star Wars fan?
Yes, but not like you would think someone would be when you hear the words Star Wars fan.
Okay, well, I was going to say, if you hadn't seen any of the movies, you could make $1,000 by watching all 9 films.
I'm not sure I've seen every one. I've seen the original 3. I've seen the prequels. I don't know that I've seen all of the newer ones. So I say newer as we sit here as of today.
Well, Finance Buzz, a financial advice website. Naturally, they would be into the Star Wars stuff, I guess. I don't know. But they're looking for someone who hasn't seen the movies to watch all of them in celebration of Star Wars Day, May 4th, or, you know, May the 4th be with you. Their posting says, quote, "We are looking for someone who's brand new to the franchise, a first timer to the Force, a true young Jedi to rate and evaluate the saga from an outsider's perspective. We'll use our Wookiee Rookies analysis for an upcoming story on the franchise," end quote. There are some rules, though. You have to watch them in release order, saying, quote, "Starting in chronological order by release date, you'll make your way from Episode 4, A New Hope, all the way back to Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. And if you're wondering why we didn't start with Episode 1, you're probably the right person for the job," end quote. They added, quote, "If Yoda perfect candidate for this role, and you just don't understand the references in this article, you're in the right place. Fill out the form and let us know if you're interested and why you'd think be a good candidate for this side hustle," end quote. So not only does it pay that $1,000, they will also include $100 to pay for the streaming fees and to see Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, in theaters as they celebrate the 25th anniversary re-release. Applications, if you are interested, will be accepted until the end of the day on May 4th. You must be 18, and if you are selected, you have 1 week to watch all of the movies, plus your descriptions or your thoughts on the movies, your analysis, will be in an upcoming story on Finance Buzz. Again, I don't know why they're doing this, besides, I guess, maybe some free publicity here, but if you're interested, you know, you can make $1,000 just watching 9 movies.
I'd venture to guess any story with the word Star Wars in it or in the headline tends to do pretty well in terms of clicks just because of the fandom that exists out there. What I'd be curious to know is, what if the person you select absolutely hates the movie franchise and has nothing but bad things to say after the fact? Because for as much as many people love this thing, love Star Wars, there are people out there who despise it. I'm not saying they're plentiful, but they do exist. So if you picked one of those people, are you back to the drawing board trying to find someone new, or are you actually just going to roll with those comments?
I think you roll with it. I mean, they're going for someone's viewpoint on it that hasn't watched it. So I think you roll with it.
That's going to irritate a lot of readers.
I might irritate some listeners here right now, because maybe it's the era I grew up in. I know a lot of people who grew up with the prequels coming out say how good they are and how bad the new ones are. I don't know. When I go back and try to watch those prequels, they're so boring. I love Star Wars, but the prequels, especially that first one, so boring. I'm sorry.
Not a Jar Jar Binks fan.
No,
there, Reggie.
No. Like, well, the whole, like, we're going to do these long Senate shots and talk and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. The dialogue was terrible. I don't know. I have trouble with the prequels.
It's intergalactic C-SPAN. I thought you were a big fan of C-SPAN.
That's me. I want to see my you know what? If there was an intergalactic C-SPAN, I might be interested in that.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Taking a look at this date in history, on April 24th, 1895, Canadian-American adventurer Joshua Slocum set sail from Boston, Massachusetts on a solo around-the-world voyage. Now, what made this trip even more remarkable is that he accomplished it in a decrepit 37-foot fishing boat that he had rebuilt and named Spray. Showing himself to be a fine writer as well as an extraordinary sailor, he told his adventure in a book called Sailing Alone Around the World. In it, he described his departure from Boston, Massachusetts. Now, I'm going to leave it up to you, Marcus. Do you want me to read a little bit from his book?
Yeah, sure. Why don't you give us a passage here, Reg?
Okay. Quote, "I had resolved on a voyage around the world, and as the wind on the morning of April 24th, 1895 was fair, at noon I weighed anchor, set sail, and filled away from Boston. The 12 o'clock whistles were blowing just as the sloop shot ahead under full sail and swung past the ferries with lively heels. A thrilling pulse beat high in me. My step was light on the deck in the crisp air. I felt that there was no turning back and that I was engaging in an adventure, the meaning of which I thoroughly understood. The day was perfect, the sunlight clear and strong. Every particle of water thrown into the air became a gem, and the spray, making good her name as she dashed ahead, snatched necklace after necklace from the sea.
Wow. Quite the poet here, Mr. Slocum. I can't imagine just pulling out of the pier there in Massachusetts and thinking, well, off into the big bad Atlantic Ocean I go and hope this works out. Eventually, maybe I'll hit California.
Listen, I wonder how his wife felt about this, because more than 3 years later, on June 27th, 1898, he ended his voyage at Newport, Rhode Island. So his route took him from Nova Scotia to Gibraltar, South America, Samoa, Australia, South Africa, West Indies. He ended up sailing 46,000 miles in those 3 years, 2 months, and 2 days. He was the first person to achieve such a feat and wrote, quote, "because I was amused by the assertions that it could not be done," end quote. Now, his return, though, people didn't really pay attention to it, mainly because the Spanish-American War was raging at the time, and that was, taking up most of everyone's attention. In fact, the harbor had been mined against the possibility of a Spanish naval attack, according to his difficulties that he wrote about. Describing the final leg of his incredible journey, he said, quote, "it was close work, but it was safe enough as long as the spray hugged the rocks and not the mines," end quote. So Slocum was born in 1844 in Nova Scotia. He went to the sea for the first time at the age of 16 aboard a merchant ship to Ireland. He spent the rest of his life traveling to ports around the world. During an extended stay in the U.S., he became a naturalized U.S. citizen. By 1909, he told his friends the next adventure would be to explore the Orinoco, Rio Negro, and Amazon rivers. But on November 14th that year, he set sail on the Spray for the West Indies on one of his usual winter voyages, I guess. However, he was never seen or heard from again. In July 1910, his wife issued a statement that she believed that her husband, who never learned how to swim, was lost at sea. In 1924, he was legally declared dead.
Oh boy, that is quite a story. I thought for a minute you must be joking when you said he was married. You leave for 3 years? I know a few weeks ago we talked about the guy who walked backwards around the world. That didn't go well, with at least in terms of his marriage. I had to assume something similar might be happening here. You have no means of communication.
Yeah, especially at that time. You're right. But, I guess if he's leaving for port all the time and going to sea, maybe she's used to it. I mean, it's kind of what he did for a living, was go out to sea. So maybe she was used to him being gone. But I don't know. Maybe it makes the romance even more exciting when you only see each other once every 3 years. I don't know.
Sure it does. Because it's essentially a one night thing. And then you're right back to the sea there. Married to the sea was Slocum.
Yes. I find it interesting that he never learned how to swim. You'd think that'd be an essential part of being a sailor.
You would think, maybe I'll run down to the local lake or creek and figure this out before I head off into the vast ocean.
That'll do it for another edition of Cool Stuff Ride Home. You can reach us at coolstuffcommute@gmail.com. Also, like us and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. I'm Reggie Rizzo. He's Marcus Path. We'll be back with more cool stuff tomorrow.
You've always had what it takes to make it happen, and we know the right tools can make it easier. At Strayer University, we're always thinking about new ways to set you up for success. That's why we give you a brand new laptop when you enroll in a bachelor's program, so you can start off on the right foot and keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Eligibility rules, restrictions, and exclusions apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by Chev.
This Valentine's Day, Dunkin's got the perfect pairings to show your love. So get down on one knee with a dozen brownie batter donuts and a cocoa mocha signature latte. Or make them swoon with a strawberry dragon fruit Dunkin' refresher with a Cupid's Choice donut. Are you ready for love? America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.